So this Lord's Prayer is from Luke. It's chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us. And lead us not in temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on the journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impotence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So I call this Teach Us to Pray. It's a kind of a short prayer. We said the one in Matthew. I just wanted to read that for just so you guys had a little different idea of the different versions. So it was common because, okay, so remember there's no Bibles. Nobody's writing. Very few people read. And so it was common for the rabbi of the congregation to teach his congregation a prayer, something that they could always say to them if they didn't have anything else or they couldn't think of something on their own. So that's why they're asking for this help. Now, one of the things that you might notice is right off the bat, he refers to God as the Father. Now, I've heard people say now, "Well, I don't like that reference because my father wasn't good to me, or my father was mean, or I didn't have a father," and all the things that we see in the world now. But what I would tell you is, even if your father wasn't the father that you wanted him to be, you have an understanding of what that means. Someone that's going to support whatever the needs are of the children, support the family, be the person the family needs around them. And so I would say don't let someone discourage you from using father in a prayer because they'll say, "Oh, well, my father did this or that." Yes, we all know people that happened to, but we also have what I would call the father knows best father, what a father should do, and maybe not be perfect all the time, but we have an idea what that is. So then we also need to know, if we know God, then we're going to know his character, his mind, his heart, and we're going to have trust in him. And so one of the ways that I think you get that, all those things, is that you have a closer relationship with God. Now, there's different ways to do that. So there's two stories in this sermon today. This is the first one. I've told you guys before, I use a Bible app on my phone. The reason I do that is because it make sure that I do my Bible study each and every day. It harangues me into it. Because if I don't do it, it sends me an email every day that says, "Hey, you didn't read this today." And if I skip 3 days, it sends me one and says, "Oh, by the by, you're 3 days past due." Now, I was in a seminar for Kiwanis the last couple days, and so last night I had to read 2 days. But I would suggest, if you have a hard time making yourself sit down and read the Bible, or if you want to listen to somebody, almost everybody here has a smartphone. If you do, you can go to your app store, and this one's called Holy Bible. And it was so simple to use, even I could use it, okay? I didn't have to get a grandkid or my daughter, anybody to help me. I got it on the phone by myself. And so it gives you a few different choices. If you're interested in something short term and you're thinking, "You know what, I'm feeling kind of anxious. And so I'd like to study something that'll help me deal with my anxiousness." You can say, I'd like to get some information on anxiety, and it'll give you some different readings to choose. And some of those might be as short as like 3 days or 5 days or a week or 2 weeks. And so you'll be reading through different scriptures each day. And you can look up love and friendship, and there's lots of categories in there. Now, the last 2 years, I've done something different because I don't like to have to pick out a new, a new plan, is what they call it, a new plan every week or so. So 2 years ago, I decided I wanted to read the whole New Testament. And so for a year, it took me through the whole New Testament. And I apparently didn't start on January the 1st because it switched in February. So in February, I decided I would do Psalms and Proverbs because I find that I don't read Psalms and Proverbs very often. And apparently, it's going to have me go through the Psalms about 3 times in a year. You know, I'm reading one a day. And Proverbs, it looks like I'm going to get to read through it about 5 times. And so it's a way to make myself do that. And the whole idea is the more that I read of the Bible, it is likely that I'm going to become closer and closer to God the Father. And so I'm just giving that to you as a suggestion. Now, I wrote up, it's in the newsletter for New Burlington, and I talked about this. And what I said at the bottom was, if you're having trouble getting this on your phone, you can see me or find a 5-year-old, because either one of those things will work. In fact, you're probably better off to be with a 5-year-old. But you can find somebody to help you. Now, the other thing it does is it sends me a Bible verse every day. I don't know how I managed to do this, but mine comes at the right time of day of 10:40 a.m. I don't know how it came up with 10:40. I don't know if that's the first time I did it. I have tried to change it to a different time. I've not talked to a 5-year-old about doing that. And so every day my phone will beep and I know it's 10:40 because it sent me the verse. And so that's one way of getting closer if you're having a hard time making yourself or having the structure in your life to read every day. That's a way of doing it. And so if you think about this prayer, it covers all of life. It talks about present need, about daily bread. And so if you go back into the Old Testament, in Exodus, when they're traveling, and as soon as the Jewish people get out in the desert, they're going, God just sent us out here to kill us because we don't have any food. And manna came from heaven. And what they were supposed to do, and again, even doing this, they didn't follow directions, they were supposed to take 1 day's worth, except on the Sabbath, they were going to take 2 days from before. And what'd they do? They tried to hoard it, right? And it got rotten because they couldn't listen. But it's this idea of those things that we need daily will be provided for us. It doesn't say we'll have abundance. It just says that we'll have what we need. It also talks about things in the past, our past sins, when we ask for forgiveness. And so what it does is it says if we're not willing to forgive others, then we're not going to be forgiven ourselves. And sometimes when people really hurt you, it's hard to forgive them because you were really, really hurt. Now, I have a feeling that when we're asking for forgiveness, we understate our act against somebody else because we don't think it's that bad. Well, yeah, it was bad, but it wasn't that bad. But when someone does something to us, it's like the worst thing in the whole entire world. It may not really have been all that bad, but it was bad to us. And it's not about how the person that's asking for forgiveness thinks of it. It's the person that was harmed. And so if you're a person that wants to be forgiven for things you've done, then you have to be willing to forgive people that have done something to you. So I had to travel to Indianapolis, which is always an exciting time because apparently the goal is to close every road at the same time. And so they were, I don't know why when 70s closed, we would make 465 two lanes at the same time, but apparently it's a requirement. And then people just like lose their mind because, well, I'm in the left lane now, I want in the right lane, and they're just going like this all the time. And that frustrates me. I don't mind slowing down, I just don't want somebody to do something stupid in front of me. And so for me, that's a forgiveness time because you go, why? Why did you do that? Benito go, let it go. You can't do anything about it. Go, yeah, but there's never a state trooper around when someone does the left lane to right lane exit off highway thing. And they said, well, nobody got hurt. And I go, well, yeah, I guess that was the good news. And so for me, I can't be anxious. I can't want something to happen to them. Although sometimes I wish I was in a tank, could just give them a little nudge, a little tap. I mean, if you're in like a 40-ton tank and you tap like a Lexus, how much damage could it cause to the tank? Probably none, okay? Now, it might hurt the Lexus some, but they probably had it coming. And so that's the stuff that goes through my mind, and I have to work on being able to forgive that silliness. But I bet there's sometimes that people I'm around, because I'm not the fastest driver, as my kids and wife will tell you, and I bet sometimes they're going, why does he not just drive that car faster? And my thought would be, I'm going as fast as I want to go. Pass me. I don't care. And so somebody does. There was a guy that passed me going about 100 yesterday. He passed everybody. But we have to be willing to forgive those around us. The other thing that talks about is future trials that are going to come to our lives. Whether it's that we lack humility, we forget our integrity, our fidelity. No matter who you are going to be tempted in your life for those kind of things. Somebody just comes up and starts gushing on you about how great and wonderful you are and how great you did this and how great you did that. It's pretty hard not for your head just to start swelling up while you're just standing there. Start getting all puffed up. But we really need to be careful against that. And so no matter what it is, you're going to have these temptations, no matter what they are. Now, here's my prayer story. I was dropping something off to the Muncie Mission, and as I was leaving, there was a guy that was walking away from me, and I was pretty sure it was somebody I knew, and I yelled his name, and he turned around, and then we talked for about 30 minutes. He'd worked at a place in Muncie. I think he'd worked there as long as I'd known him, but I knew he'd quit a few years ago. He'd worked there, I think he told me, about 40 years. But it had a change in ownership, and he and the new owner, he said, I didn't have anything against him, but I just felt like he kind of picked on me all the time. And he said, I talked to my wife, and she goes, you're not very happy. And he said, I just feel like I'm being picked on all the time. And he wasn't a young guy. He was probably in his early, mid-60s then. And he said, I went to God and prayed and said, you know, am I supposed to leave here? Am I supposed to talk to him about this? What am I supposed to do to work through this? Because he said, I really just don't like feeling this way all the time. I like to be happy in my job. I like to enjoy it. I like to be around people that I enjoy. And so he felt like God was saying, well, go to the owner and talk to him. And so he went to him and he talked to him. And he said, you know, it seems like there's something between us. He goes, I have any problem with you. He said, well, just the way you said that led me to believe that you have a problem with me. But he said, you know what? I just want to be treated fairly. And he said, I don't feel like you're treating me fairly. And he said, I treat you like I do everybody else. Now, that part could have been true because I know the owner also. And so he can be a little gruff. But he just didn't enjoy it. And so a few weeks after that, he said, you know what? It's time for me to leave and just retire. And so he was retired for about 2 years. Felt like that's what God was telling him to do. It wasn't worth his time to be there. But he didn't really like being home all the time either. And so after a couple years, his wife said, you don't really seem like you're enjoying this. He goes, well, I just don't think it was time for me to retire. He said, I want to find something to do. And she said, well, go back to God and pray, and maybe God will lead you to a place that you're supposed to be. And so he said, I'd been praying about, you know, was I supposed to go back to work, and where was I supposed to work? And he goes to church, First Presbyterian in Yorktown, and there's a guy there that works at the nonprofit that we were at, and he came up to him one Sunday, and he said, hey, I understand you're thinking about starting to work. He goes, yeah, he said, I've been praying about it. He said, come in and see me Monday morning. I got something I want to talk to you about. So he goes in on Monday morning and he sees him, and he said, here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to become our maintenance guy. He said, you wouldn't be the head maintenance guy, but he said, you'd be fixing minor things and mowing grass and stuff like that. And he said, I really was only thinking about part-time. He goes, yeah, this is full-time, 40 hours a week. But he said, I don't care when you work. It's just stuff that needs to be done, and you can get it done whenever you want to. So you can kind of work your schedule around. And he said, Well, let me go home and think about it. He goes, yeah, I really need you to start today. So he said, how about you go home, change your clothes, come back here in an hour, and we'll get started. So he said, well, okay. So he did that. He said, but what if I don't like it? He said, give it a couple weeks, and if you don't like it, he said, you can go. And so he said, okay. Now he's been there 2 years. And he said he loves it, and he loves working with the people. And he said one of the best things about it is every morning before all the employees go to work, he said, we have devotions. And he said the guy that's in charge of the not-for-profit, as long as he's around, leads devotions, or there's somebody else to do it. He said, I've never worked any place that started with devotions at the beginning of the day. And he said, it's like I am in the perfect place for me. I like what I'm doing. I like the way that we can share our faith. He said, I like the people I work with. And so what I would tell you is that God answered his prayers. He says it's one time. That's why I said, I think it was really two separate. Got him out of the place he was in. Then when he needed to do something else, God answered that prayer. Now, he didn't really know exactly how that was going to work. And I don't think he would have ever said, oh yeah, I'm going to work here as a maintenance guy. But that's the way he was led. And he just so much has enjoyed it. And so what I would say for you guys, we are going to have times in our lives that we don't know if we're doing the right thing or not. That we think we're supposed to be doing something, or we hope we're supposed to be doing something. And we really need God to lead us. Because if, and so again, in that Shane Looper's story today, he's talking about we pray for the things we want to happen for us, like we want to be rich and we want to be famous, and we, but maybe that's not what God has in mind for us. And if we try to do things based on our own abilities and our own merits, it might work out for you because maybe that's what God had in mind for you the whole time. But maybe it's not, because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And so when we go to these, when we go to the Father in prayer and we ask to be led, to be directed in what we're supposed to do, just make sure you're asking and you're just not saying, oh yeah, I want to be, he wants to be like a famous musician. Dale, is that you? No? Rock star, famous author. There's some, the most famous farmer in the whole of Delaware County, right there. Whatever it is that what God wants us to do? And so just make sure you're letting God lead you into those things to get you where you're supposed to be. Let us pray. Father, please be with us all as we go out into your world. Let us be open to your guidance and direction, and let us not insist that things be our way, but your way. Be with us all. Comfort, guide us, direct us in all we say and do. Amen.